They therefore took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we see today illustrated the price for preaching the truth and doing good. And the church very dramatically shows us the price, or reminds us of the price that Jesus paid by the veiling of the statues. Jesus went and hid himself. And I remember Father Clement Kubisch always saying, to him this seemed like the saddest day of the year, liturgically. Even more than Good Friday. Because on Good Friday, the price of our Lord's life was paid. He fulfilled it. The redemption was accomplished. So there's that aspect of triumph, actually, on Good Friday. And in the preface for Passiontide, we read the words to the effect that the devil thought he conquered our Lord, but in turn, he was conquered by Christ. So I can see, or I can understand, Father Kubisch's thinking on that. So what makes today so sad is the people rejecting our Lord. He is Almighty God. And remember that he didn't reveal his divinity all at once. After all, for the first 30 years of his life, he was hidden. Only in the last 3 years did he begin, or did he do his public ministry? And even then, he gradually revealed himself. And it came to that point today where he makes that unmistakable claim to his divinity. Before Abraham came to be, I am. Only God can speak like that. In words that grammatically do not make sense for any human creature. He didn't say, I was. Because you see, God always is. There is no past, there is no future for God. He's in an eternal now. So again, he's speaking as God, and they should have been able to accept it. He had proved himself by his miracles. He had fulfilled prophecy, which even they should have been able to detect, but they still rejected it. Many rejected it. Not all of them. Obviously, there were the ones that did accept our Lord, who did believe, who did adore, who did acknowledge that he was both God and man. So Jesus on Passion Sunday shows us liturgically that he is paying the price for speaking the truth and doing good. And that is the lesson for us, my dear brethren. We too will suffer for preaching the gospel, for preaching the truth, and for doing good. But here's the point. We need to do it anyway, as Jesus did. Yes, this one time, it was his hour had not yet come to suffer and die. So that's why he miraculously disappeared. He hid himself from them. But he didn't change his gospel. He didn't stop doing good. So we have to recognize, and we have recognized, of course, in our lives, the opposition to goodness and truth. But it has to go on anyway. I remember reading somewhere the analogy that the opposition we encounter in life is like the wind against the kite. The kite still flies anyway, despite the opposition. And of course, because of the opposition, it might even say, if the wind wasn't there, it wouldn't lift the kite high up in the air. So our Lord teaches us to preach the truth and to do good anyway. In the epistle, we read how our Lord shed his blood for our redemption. And St. Paul so beautifully expresses this in this epistle. He talks about our Lord as the high priest who entered into the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made by hands. Now remember, the temple, there was two temples in the Old Testament. There was the most magnificent one made by King Solomon. It was covered inside and out with the purest gold. The quantity of gold was most staggering. Even estimated what percentage of the world's entire gold supply was in Solomon's temple. But it was made by man, of course, with very exact specifications given by God. It was a most wondrous thing. But it was destroyed by the Assyrians when they were carried off into the Babylonian captivity. And then the second temple was built, small at first when they returned from the Babylonian exile. And it was enlarged and built upon and finally given its last magnificent structure by King Herod, of all people, who wanted to curry favor with the Jewish people. So it's called Herod's Temple sometimes, or the Second Temple. But even that was destroyed. In 70 AD, the Romans destroyed it so thoroughly that the prophecy of our Lord was fulfilled, that not a stone would be left upon the stone. You see, a fire broke out and was burning the wood that was in that Second Temple. And it melted the gold down into the crevices. And so the Romans literally, after the siege had taken place and they had killed countless Jewish people, such a tragic sight, they decided to take the rubble apart, what was left standing, and also what was left standing, in order to get at the gold. And ironically, the gold from the temple financed the building of the Colosseum in Rome, where many martyrs would shed their faith for Christ later on. By the way, the apostate emperor, or Julian the Apostate, started to build the third temple in complete defiance of Christianity. This was around, I can't remember the exact year, it was in the 4th or 5th century, and such a terrible fire, or not fire, but terrible storm broke out that they had to stop building, and God would not permit that third temple to be built. Why? Because the great high priest has come. And unlike in the Old Testament, where the priest was separate from the victim, the priest put the animal to death, in the New Testament, the priest and the victim are the same. This had never happened before, where the priest puts himself to death, so to speak, as the victim. And St. Paul says, and again, look at the good that our Lord did here. He said in the Old Testament, the blood of countless animals had to flow because of the ongoing sins of the people. And because, you know, what could that blood do of an animal? It could give some kind of an external purification. it could give you some kind of a title to God's mercy and forgiveness. But of themselves, they were just animals, but still, nevertheless, decreed by God. It was a sacrifice. You know, how much did a goat, a calf, how much did they cost? For a calf, maybe in the hundreds of dollars, equivalent to our money today. So when it was entirely sacrificed in the Holocaust, that was a real sacrifice of their property. And also it was a prefigurement for the blood of the priest victim that would be shed, who would be none other than God himself in his human nature. Before Abraham came to be, I am. You see, Paul says he entered once, and our Lord only needed to do it once. And this now has infinite value. It has the value of redeeming a million worlds even more sinful than ours. It's infinite. And therefore, St. Paul uses that word once. But this is where many, and unfortunately the Protestants, say, oh, we don't need any more ongoing sacrifice because Christ accomplished it once and for all. Our Lord wanted to continue to die for us, not because his sacrifice on the cross was lacking. As I said, it's infinite. But nevertheless, our Lord, by his own will, wants his blood to flow, and it flows in every single sacrifice of the Mass. The sins of mankind do not abate. So our Lord gained it all on the cross. But in the Mass, he applies those graces. He applies the benefits that he won on Calvary. And therefore, St. Paul, the same one who said he died once, also says, speaking of the Holy Eucharist, whoever eats of this bread or drinks of the chalice unworthily is guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And he says we show the death of Christ every time. So there the Catholic teaching is unmistakably clear that in every Mass he dies again, mystically. He could die physically only once, but there is a real identity between every Mass ever offered and the sacrifice of Calvary. They are one and the same. This is the renewal of it. So how wonderful the plan of our Lord, how wonderful God is. But sad to say, there will still be those that reject him. We certainly do not want to be among that number who have rejected our Lord. And even today, my dear brethren, there would be many, many people who would pick up stones to throw at him and crucify him again. He is still rejected. He is the sign of contradiction, as was prophesied by Simeon to Our Lady at the presentation in the temple. But despite that, Jesus would never stop doing the good that he came to do. And let us, like him, also not fail to do the good, to believe, and to speak the truth which he preached. Let us enter into a deeper union with our Lord these last 2 weeks of Lent. Learn of his Sacred Heart. Be inspired by his sufferings and those of his Holy Mother to accomplish that great work, which was and will always be the triumph of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.